subject, a real partnership. What did I say? A real partnership. Let us bow our heads and pray as we are about to begin a real partnership. We're praying wherever you are in the hall, we are praying. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you, dear God, grateful for the honor of calling you Father. As your word says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the sons and daughters. Father, accept our thanks for this amazing privilege, and we ask you now to receive us as we recommit our lives to you for service. Grant us your grace, dear God. Grant us forgiveness if at this early stage of the day we have sinned. I ask you, dear Father, to grant us without measure your sweet spirit of truth, that he may speak through me and guide and instruct those who are listening. Thank you, dear God, for this privilege to come before you. Thank you for freedom of worship in this blessed country. Bless it. Bless the leaders, dear God. Instruct them in the decisions they make. And in all their deliberations, dear Father, let them remember righteousness exalteth a nation. Hear this humble prayer. Bless our internet listeners, I ask. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. A real partnership. Genesis chapter 2, we'll read verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. We're reading from the King James Version of the Bible, and the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let's reread that verse. We'll read it microscopically. We'll observe two substances, if I may use that term, and we'll observe two origins. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. What substance? Dust. What's the origin? The earth. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. What's the substance? The breath of life. What's the origin? Of course, is from above, where God is. What's the spiritual lesson for us in the physical composition, the physical makeup of a man or a woman? What is God possibly trying to teach us? Because the verse says, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Without that breath from above, whatever God formed existed, but did not live. Let me say it again. Without the breath from God into that thing made of earth, the thing that looked like a human being, it existed but did not live. The lesson I bring to your attention is that God's desire for us is that the ideal life is a life lived in cooperation with God. It is built into the way humanity was brought into existence. If that's clear, say amen. Until you are in a union with God, you exist, you do not live. Listen to this verse. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, she exists, but really does not live as God desires us to live. And so we have something from the earth, and we have something from above that gives meaning to that thing made from the earth. Our lives have no meaning unless heaven is involved. If that's clear, say amen. Now that's from God's way of thinking. Now from the earth's way of thinking, you can have a meaningful life without God involved. That's the earthly view. But as children of God, we must see everything through God's eyes. When we see everything through God's eyes, then our response, our attitude changes. We behave in the light of God's viewpoint. We must see things through God's eyes. And so I say one more time, a life that is meaningful as God counts meaningful is a life in which heaven gives meaning and gives purpose and gives direction to that life. Remove God from your life, you exist. You do not live as far as God sees it. All right. Let us go to one or two verses that are fairly well known. John 8. Let's read verse 29. No, let's go to John 15. John 15, we read from verse 1. A real partnership. John 15, reading from verse 1. When you found that, let me know by saying amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Let me digress briefly. Listen again to the words of John 15:1. I am what? What does that tell you immediately? There's a false vine. Listen to me. There's a true God, and there's a false God. There's Bible truth, and then there's satanic truth, truth in quotation marks. There's the true bread, and there's the false bread. There's the true light, and there's the false light. There's the true vine, and there's the false vine. For everything that's genuine, the devil has the counterfeit that looks remarkably like the genuine. I am the true vine. John chapter 1, verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. That was the true bread. Be sure that you are connecting your life to the true vine. You're eating your true bread. You're basking in the true light. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It's the Father that cleans up the church by getting rid of people who have no serious desire to do the Lord's will. He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Now that's a partnership. You see, Christ can live without us. We cannot live without Christ. Now, Christ would probably be miserable without us, but Christ can live without us. We cannot live without God, and that applies to the atheist. He exists because of God. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. This is a partnership absolutely essential to salvation and to spiritual growth and to being qualified for a place in God's kingdom. You and I must abide in the vine called Christ. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. This partnership is so close you can hardly distinguish one partner from another. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same, not any other person, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, if you're not with me, without me, ye can do nothing that God recognizes. Now, without God, we can do all sorts of things. Murder, stealing, lying, rape, whatever. We can do many things without God. But when the verse says, without me, he can do nothing, we can do nothing good that God acknowledges as good. And so Jesus tells us we need a vital union. The Desire of Ages, page 324, paragraph 1. Our subject, a real partnership. The Desire of Ages, page 324, paragraph 1. We may leave off many bad habits. For a time, we may part company with Satan. But without a vital connection with God, through surrender of ourselves to him, moment by moment, we shall be overcome. Without a personal acquaintance and a continual communion, always in touch with God, we are at the mercy of the enemy and will do his bidding in the end. What she's saying is that someone who is not moment by moment connected with God, in partnership with God, will eventually crash. It's not enough to connect with God on Sabbath and on the rare occasion prayer meeting. The contact, the connection, the fusion must hold moment by moment. The moment we're separated, that's all the devil needs to come in and cause trouble. Let me say that differently. The devil doesn't need 1 hour of your life to ruin it. All he needs is a strategic moment. Let me say that again by giving you an illustration. Now, I live in the state of Michigan in the United States, and we're well known for our bad winters. We have something in Michigan and other winter states called black ice. You don't see it. You only know it's on the ground when your car starts to spin and starts sliding into the ditch. I was driving to the city of Detroit. I live nearby that city. I fly out of that city to speak at a church, and I'm driving. The car's on the highway. It's winter. And I hit a patch of black ice. And in an instant, my car spun and I was in the ditch. Nothing I could do. In a moment, I could have died. Listen to me carefully. The devil does not need an hour of your life to ruin it. He just needs the right moment. That is why this partnership with God, this connection with God, must be constant, so that the enemy is denied even a moment. This means that the child of God does not live his or her Christian life, or put it, on autopilot. You have to live a deliberate, intentional, purposeful Christian life every moment of every day. And that comes by practice and practice and practice. Abide in me and I in you. Let's look at how this can be of great advantage to the child of God. A partnership. Listen to Jesus Christ. John 8:29. John 8:29, a real partnership. It's 8:15 by my watch. Today's preparation day. I know you have a lot to do to get ready for the advent of the Holy Sabbath day. You'll be preparing and anticipating the arrival of a day that most of the world absolutely ignores. And may God bless you for your faithfulness to God. May God bless you for your willingness to obey a command that most of the world regards as ridiculous. John 8:29, listen to Jesus Christ. And he that hath sent me is with me. That's a partnership. The Father hath not left me alone. We are together, for I do always the things that please him. Jesus Christ lived a life that pleased the Father because he lived it in partnership with the Father. Christ, in his humanity, could have separated himself from the Father. Do not believe that Christ had to be attached to the Father in his humanity. No, in his humanity, he had his own will. That is why he prayed in Luke 22, verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. He had his own will as a human being. But Christ chose to live in partnership. In partnership with his Father, and that accounted for the powerful life he lived. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. Now, Mark 39, but before we go there, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. And you'll notice I do that often, because then the Spirit tells me, no, read that other verse first. And I've learned, do what the Spirit says as soon as he tells you. Because very often, Sometimes I pause and I say to Mr. God, Father, let me finish this verse. And then the Spirit takes the initial recommendation out of my head. Are you with me? And very often I'm in the pulpit apologizing to God and the congregation doesn't know. And I'm preaching and saying, Father, I'm sorry. I should have used it immediately. Please bring it back. And 99.99999 ad infinitum. God brings it back because He's a merciful God. And so 1 Corinthians 3:9, then we'll get to Genesis. Always do what God says immediately. He does not wait. 1 Corinthians 3:9, what does the Bible say? For we are laborers together. What's the next word? With God. That's a partnership. Ye are his. Yes. We are his husbandry. We are his building. We are laborers together. What is a co-laborer? Now, in Romans 8, let's get a little clue as to what it means to be a co-laborer with God. Romans 8, let's read verse 16 and 17 and 18. Maybe 17 and 16 will be enough. Romans 8. 16:17. Do you have that? The Spirit itself, thank you, my handsome brother, beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. Now keep reading. And if children, then heirs. Keep reading. Heirs of God, go on, and joint heirs with Christ. Ah. Christ will not receive everything coming to him until we are with him. Because as Christ will inherit from the Father, we will inherit with Christ. Is that clear to you? We are joint heirs with Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are in partnership with Christ. And what comes to him, we will share with him. Now, we go back to 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. What a privilege it is. Who is studying economics? Raise your hand. You're studying economics. Anyone? No one? Not even one? In the back to the left. Now, if you were offered a 9-month internship with the head of the International Monetary Fund or with the World Bank, you would be the happiest man in Accra. All of Ghana. If you're doing political science, anyone doing political science? No? Yes. You were offered an internship with the Secretary General of the United Nations. Let's say it is still Kofi Annan. You would be so excited. And you follow him wherever he goes, and you ride in his limousine, and you sit at the table, and you eat with him. When he meets heads of state, he introduces you as his able and very, very hardworking assistant. You would be so proud. If you were studying, I don't know, whatever, leadership and land settlement, and you're offered an internship with Barack Obama when he was president. How you would jump, or the president of Ghana, or whoever controls the Organization of West African Countries, you would rejoice. You'd be so happy you wouldn't recognize your mother. Now, here comes the Creator, the God of heaven and earth. Here is the God, the Father of Jesus, the one before whom the angels veil their faces. And he says to you, my daughter, I am offering you a lifetime internship with me, which puts you closer to me than angels. A partnership with me. It doesn't begin in heaven, it begins now. And so God, through His Word, is telling you, listen, we are ideally laborers with God. We are joint laborers on a project. This is the project of eternal life, which extends into the life to come. And God is desirous of working with you more than we are desirous of working with God. Your life should be a business in which you are the junior partner and God is the senior partner. Anyone doing business? No one? Oh, yes. All right. You know, you have business partnerships, and remember what I told you about business partnerships with unbelievers. Do not start your business and say, let me get a partner. Get someone of your faith. The Bible said, Deuteronomy 7, verse 2, thou shalt make no covenant with them. All right. A partnership with God, and he wants it now. Your whole life is a business. You know, a business has accounts. Am I right? It has inventory that has to be taken. Am I right? It has employee concerns. It maybe has physical plant concerns. It has various areas of concern. All must work well for the business to flourish. Now, your life is a business. There's your spiritual side, which affects everything, by the way. There's your physical life. You want to stay healthy. Keep both your hands and legs. You want to, you have your romantic life. Whether you're dating or you're married, the romance shouldn't go out. Say amen. All right. Then there's your educational life. You're at the University of Legon and you're studying international studies. Then there's your whatever social life. What do you say? What? Okay. Your talents. Yes, you have to manage your resources. All of these are aspects of the business of life. And God says, let's be laborers together. I'll be the senior partner. You'll be the junior partner. So you take directions from me. When that is the arrangement, this is what the servant of the Lord says. Thus our business or calling is a part of God's great plan. And as long as it is conducted in accordance with his will, he himself is responsible for the results. Education 138, paragraph 2. Listen again. Thus our business or calling, what is your calling? Agriculture, economics, leadership, teaching English as a second language, international studies, whatever it is. Thus our business or calling are a part of God's great plan. And as long, there's a condition, as it is conducted. You run a business, every CD should be earned honestly. Every product should be made as well as you can. Every interaction with a customer, by the way, every customer is really a candidate for the kingdom. That's how you should see the customer who walks into your business. Not a customer first, a candidate for the kingdom. Every interaction is based on that heavenly principle of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And God wants to enter into that arrangement with us. Let us see the benefit that accrue when that is the way a person lives his or her life. Now, we go to Genesis 39. We read from verse 1. Our subject, a real partnership. Your entire life is a business. I have to keep repeating that. Genesis 39, reading from verse 21. The Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Listen very closely. And the Lord was what? With Joseph. With partnership, togetherness. And the Lord was with Joseph in his slavery. Listen again. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites. Joseph was bought as a slave. And in this part of the world, I'm sure you understand buying and selling slaves, because so many slaves came from this region, off to the United States and off to the West Indies. I have visited the slave castles on the coast, El Nino, El something. What's it called? I've visited two of them, I think. So Joseph was bought and sold. He's a slave. The Bible says, in his slavery, the Lord was with him. The Lord isn't always only with us. He isn't only with us when things are going well and the sun is shining and the flowers are blooming and the birds are singing as a choir. Mm-mm. God is also with us when we're in the pit where Jeremiah was. God is also with us when we cover from head to foot in sores and boils as Job was. God is with us when we're in the dungeon awaiting the decapitation as John the Baptist and Paul were. Genesis 39:2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Read verse 3 again. Read it closely, microscopically. And his master saw. Who is his master? The Egyptian. Who are the Egyptians? Idol worshippers. The Egyptians worship almost every animal in Egypt. The dog, the cat, the hawk, the crocodile, the hyena, the cat, the bull, they just worship anything that moved, if I can be extreme. Joseph worshiped the God of heaven and earth, the God of the Sabbath. Can you say amen? That was Joseph's God. This unbeliever, this pagan, this heathen, he saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Question for you, I ask very politely. Do your unsaved friends see that the Lord is with you, or do my friends see the Lord is with me? Do they sense something different? When a man is drunk, you see something different. The power within affects his speech, affects his walk, affects his sense of balance, affects his ability to make intelligent decisions. That indwelling spirit affects him. There is an indwelling spirit in the child of God, and the internal presence of that spirit should be externally manifested in the way that child speaks and walks and behaves and reacts and interacts with other men and women. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now listen to how the verse ends for all of you who run businesses. Remember, your life is a business. And that the Lord, finish the verse, made everything he did, come on, finish the verse, to prosper in his hand. Now, when God functions like that, can God be affected by a bad economy? No. Can God be affected because the trade agreement that Ghana had with Sweden was canceled? No. Let me tell you something about God. I have a friend who lives in a certain part of the world. And that friend told me, now when people say pray for me, I need to know exactly why, so I can pray pointedly and intelligently. So I said, what is exactly your prayer request? Well, I want to go back to my country and set up a health program in a house I have there. So I check occasionally to say, listen, I'm still praying for you. Any progress? And a friend said, well, the economy in my home country is not that good, so I'm not sure. So I believe I wrote back and said, don't worry about the economy. As long as you're doing the Lord's will, the economy is God's business, not yours. The Red Sea was God's business, not the Israelites. When you obey God, listen to me, the difficulties that come your way, and they will come, but they rightfully belong to the other member of that business partnership, not you. God will part the Red Sea. God will bring a cloud by day to shield you from the sun. God will bring a pillar of fire by night to warm you. God will provide water from a rock and manna from heaven. That's his side of the business partnership. Your side is obey. And so the Bible says, And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph as a leader, as a guide, as a directing influence, as the one who told him how to live. Not the other way around. Too many of us, we believe we are in partnership with God, and we try to tell God. No, let God tell us. Through his word, and because we're so blessed as a people, the counsel of the Lord's servant, Ellen White. And so the Lord made all that he did. God guaranteed results. I have another friend in another part of the world. Sent me a text 2 weeks ago. I just began a business. Pray for me. I wrote back on WhatsApp. What is exactly the business? I have opened a little restaurant. And I believe I told her, make sure you run it along the principles of integrity, something along that order. I have yet to tell her, don't open on Sabbath, and I will. But I'm sure she knows that. I want her to run that business with God. I was in another country, and two men came to my hotel room. We have a business. We want you to pray for it. What is your business? We sell cars. All right, fine. Before we pray, let's discuss how your business ought to be run. Make sure you pressure no one to buy a car. God pressures no one to accept Christ, unless you call love pressure. Make sure there are no hidden conditions. When you deal with your customer, be as transparent as the sea of glass. The Ten Commandments have no fine print. What did I say? What did I say? The Ten Commandments have no fine print. You watch these advertisements, they tell you all that attracts your eye, then you see some fine print you cannot read. But it has to be there for legal reasons, you see. Or you're given some advertisement for a credit card. Oh, if you buy $1,000 of whatever, you get 10 points here and there. But and then 2 pages of fine print, you need a magnifying glass to read. No, that's not the way a Christian functions. My fine print are the Ten Commandments. And they're all condensed in, do unto others as you would have them do to you. So I told them, do not pressure anyone. Be honest. Be upright. Do not sell a car fraudulently. And I said, when a customer walks into your office, do not see a customer first. Because everything must be done to the glory of God. You must immediately adopt the mental attitude, Father, help me to interact with this man or this woman in such a way that whether I sell a car or not, the person leaves knowing there's something about that man. Never be driven by money or the desire for money. Be driven by an urge to make sure that God's name is never contaminated by our behavior. And so the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. This is what God is willing to do for you. My brothers and my sisters, give your education to God as part of the arrangement. Give your romantic life to God. Let him run it. Let him run your educational life. Let him run your family life. Let him decide the friends you will keep. Let him decide how you spend your money. Let God function without any hindrance as the senior partner in this business called life. If you do that, you will live a life with an absolute minimum of regret. And every problem that arises will arise with a guaranteed solution because God himself is that solution. Let's go to verse 4. And Joseph found what? Let's pause there. Joseph found grace in his sight. This is one benefit of working with God that most Christians don't understand. Let's see it in somebody else's life. Let's go to Daniel 1, then we'll come back to Genesis 39. It is 20 to 9. Daniel 1, another slave, another captive, taken forcibly against his will from his home to a foreign land, foreign language, foreign dress, foreign food, foreign everything. Here's Daniel. But Daniel has a relationship with God in his enslaved condition. Daniel 1, verse 9, when you found it, say amen. The Bible says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God brought Daniel into a favorable relationship with the prince of the eunuchs. By relationship I mean where the prince of the eunuchs observed the behavior, the conduct, the attitude of Daniel. God touched his heart and told him, treat that young man well. Go to Exodus 3. See God doing the same thing. Exodus 3. And God is willing to do that for you in the classroom, in the workplace, wherever you are. God can give you favor in the sight of people so that people act in your, to your advantage and in your favor. Exodus 3, verse 21, our subject, a real partnership. You remember when the Israelites left Egypt, the Egyptians gave them what? Money, jewels, possessions. The Egyptians just gave the Israelites. I shouldn't say just gave, but I'll say it for now. Then you'll see why it isn't just gave. What I should say is, they did not even know what they were doing. How do you give money, wealth, to your escaping workforce? Here's what happened. God arranged it. Exodus 3, verse 21. Here is what God tells Moses. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass, when ye go, ye shall not go out empty. In other words, God tells Moses, look, when you're ready to leave, I will massage the heart of the Egyptians. I will fix, I will prick them, I will convict them, I will tell them, give money to the Israelites. And they just gave money to the Israelites. They probably realized it after the Israelites were gone. It's like you awaken from a drunken stupor. What did I do? God put it on your heart and you had no choice. Go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Now don't take half an hour to find Nehemiah. Find Psalms, work your way backward. Or find Chronicles, work your way forward. Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah has heard of the conditions of the temple at Jerusalem and the city itself. He heard from Hanani, one of his brethren. And Nehemiah's heart is broken. He sat down, he wept, he prayed, he fasted, prayed to the God of heaven. He wants to go and help rebuild the wall and the temple. And so he's going to Artaxerxes, the king, to ask him for permission to go and help rebuild his country. And in verse 11 of chapter 1 of Nehemiah, grant me mercy in the sight of this man. What does that mean? Same thing as give me favor. Give me favor. When Nehemiah appeared before the king, in verse 4 of chapter 2 of Nehemiah, it's a remarkable, remarkable statement in that verse that shows how God can move in your favor. Verse 4, Nehemiah 2, what does the Bible say? And the king what? Then the king said unto him what? For what? Come on, read loudly. For what? Come on. Dost thou make? Finish it. Request. Now put that in simple language. What's the king saying? What do you want? We call that, or you call it, in business or banking arrangements, a blank check. What do you want? Everything Nehemiah wanted, the king gave him. Why? Nehemiah prayed, verse 11, grant me mercy in the sight of this man. The Egyptian gave wealth to the Israelites. Why? God gave them favor. The the chief, the warden in the prison where Joseph was, he put Joseph in charge of the prison because God, the Bible says, the Lord showed him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Before the prison episode, Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything. The Bible says Joseph found favor. Why? Joseph, Daniel, the Israelites, Nehemiah, they were in partnership with God. One of the byproducts of sin is the tendency of the sinner to overestimate his or her ability to run his or her life. Let me say it again. It's a catastrophic tendency to overestimate our ability to manage our own lives without outside help. And the end result is invariably catastrophe. God is the only person who can unite with you to grant you a blessed life. Now, let me say quickly. You can ignore God completely and have 10 houses, 10 cars, 10 planes, 10 boats, 10 submarines. You'll have no place in God's kingdom. Listen to Christ. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses? Are you with me? That's not good business thinking. Listen to me again. That is not a business strategy. That you lose this in order to gain that. But that's how the sinner functions. Listen to this statement from Ellen White. No scheme of business or plan of life can be sound or complete that only embraces the brief years of this life and makes no provision for the unending future. Ellen White says it makes no sense to have a plan of life, only focus on this life. She ends this way, let the youth be taught to take eternity into their reckoning. When you decide on your job, how will that affect my eternal life? When you choose a life partner, how will that affect my eternal life? In other words, you're considering the glory of God. If I want to move from Accra and go live in Cape Town, how will that affect my eternal life? Let the youth be taught, because it does not come automatically. Take eternity into your reckoning as you draw up your business plan. Let me close the book. Do not live your life by yourself. Do not live under the umbrella of deception that you can handle your life. You cannot. Except you are skilled, and so am I, at going straight to hell. We need no help to do that. But to live a life that glorifies God, that amazes the angels, that leaves the inhabitants of unfallen worlds in jaw-dropping awe. To do that, you must enter into a partnership with God. And so this morning, I invite you, as God's spokesperson, develop a partnership with God if you haven't done so right now. You don't need to sign a paper. It is all done right here in the heart. You say, Father, my eyes have been opened. Now I commit every aspect of my life to you. Please, God, help me to work with you in the running of this business called my life. And so I place my education, I place my romance, I place my romantic life, I place my recreational tendencies, I place my dietary habits, I place my dress habits, I place my spending money, I place everything under your care. Run my life. You give me instructions. I will follow them, Father. Let us enter into a business arrangement. Or as the title says, tell me, a real partnership. How many will say, Lord, this is my choice today. Can I see your right hand? This is my choice. Stand up with me. Listen carefully. In services all over the world, all over the place, particularly in the Christian tradition, when a preacher makes a call, people respond, no matter what he says. How many of you will jump off the building? People raise their hands. Because you are conditioned to do that. You see, services have a format. You come, you kneel, you pray, you sing, you worship. Then there's a sermon. The preacher shouts at you. Then he says, do this, do that. You do it. Amen. You go home. You forgot what you did. when you stood. Listen to me. I have asked you, make a conscious decision right now and say, Lord, my eyes have been opened, or I have seen it from a different perspective. Father, it makes all the sense in the world. Even if it didn't make sense, if it makes sense to you, it's fine with me. Now, dear God, I surrender to you, to your control, every aspect of my life. Let us work together to run the business of my life. You are the senior partner, Father. I will follow your directions. I will be the upfront person people see when they come into this business. And I want, Father, that when they see me, they see the invisible partner that is you. Now, is that your desire? Let me see your hand again. A business with God. Your life is a business. Hands down, let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, for this honor, this blessing, Father, this distinction angels do not enjoy. To have a relationship with you, a partnership with you, Lord, a closeness with you, so that our lives, viewed as a business, are placed under your care, and we consciously function as a junior partner, carrying out your instructions as laid out in your word and the counsel of your servant. Father, impress upon all of us that this is a very serious matter. The life you do not lead will invariably be lost. Invariably be lost. No one can enter the pearly gates whose life was not led by you. Father, these young men, these young women have stood, raised their hands twice to say, Lord, I enter into partnership with you. Accept them, dear Father. Day by day, let them renew this partnership. Bless them, dear God. Let them see the value of working with God, of entering into a real partnership. Draw them ever closer into your bosom, dear Father. And as this partnership continues, and as it grows, let more of you be seen in them. Until, dear God, the outsider looking in will not see two people, but one. Father, bless them, dear God. Some will stumble by the way. We know that. When that happens, lift them up, Father, and tell them, my son, my daughter, let's walk again. Whatever we do today, let us seek your glory, dear Father. Bless my brothers. Bless my sisters. Bless all those who have joined us via the internet. Let them make the same decision, dear God, to give their lives to you, that you and they may run it as a partnership, as a business. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your desire to have us with you throughout eternity. Whatever else we have to do today, dear God, let us do it under your direction for your glory, because we will surely be blessed. I offer this prayer from my heart, dear God, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.